listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, getting thrown in a coffin and then resurrected later. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul, hoping that he can disappear for 9 years after watching this movie. Good God.
I didn't go into this movie with any preconceived notions. I thought, I'm going to get a mummy movie. It's from the dude who did Evil Dead Rise. This will probably be something. And it was something. Yeah. It just wasn't anything that I wanted. And going online and looking at other people discussing it, they had the same issue that I did, which is, and I'm sure you're going to have the same problem as well, this was not a mummy movie despite its title.
I saw someone do a review of this that, you know, made a really good point. When you put the name like Lee Cronin in front of something, that's a risk. Like, you're either the director is putting his stamp on this or whatever. And I think I heard that he didn't even want to do this. The studio kind of did it. You're trying to differentiate, or you're trying to like put your stamp on it. And I think they were doing it to try to differentiate from, you know, Brendan Fraser's The Mummy, because literally that's what
coming
I guess
back in a couple years. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, if you took this and you called this The Exorcist redo, I think it would be better than what the hell we got here, because it was an Exorcist movie wrapped up in an Evil Dead skin, put in a sarcophagus for 9 years to rot. Like, yeah. I don't know what I watched.
If you called it Lee Cronin's Demon of the Sands, I would just go in knowing it's some sort of demonic possession movie, because that's what it is. It's not really, they're like, this, she's possessed, spoiler, by an evil god from thousands of years ago, and they have to transfer that from vessel to vessel every couple decades or so. Okay, sure, whatever. That's weird, but sure. It's a demon in the sands. It's not Egyptian. It's not pharaohs. It's not mummy. This is you can wrap her in bandages all you want. It's not a proper mummification. It's not what you expect from this. Like, the Brendan Fraser movies, for all that they got wrong, at least had a real mummy in them.
Yeah, they did, right? You know, Imhotep, Prince Imhotep.
Yep.
If only he would come back and show us how it's really done. I guess the movie really wanted to lay into the trauma of the family and whatever, but like, I was getting sick of the parents in this movie. The only person I really seemed to give a shit about was the grandma, and I just felt bad for her. Like, the movie had some gore, it had some jump scares, it had some weird, but like I said, if you told me this was Evil Dead Part 9, I would have believed it more than it being a mummy movie.
Yep.
Before we continue to talk about this cinematic masterpiece, which is no fault of the director, I hope, we want to give a minute here to thank this week's sponsor, OCP. From the factories in Detroit comes a full line of products designed to improve your life. From televisions to stereos, vehicles to home security, Omni Consumer Products has the technology you need at the price you can afford. And now you can buy everything we offer on OCP TV, the 24-hour shopping network. But even if you can't buy that for a dollar, you know you can get it for OCP. Omni Consumer Products, dead or alive, you need our services. Thank you this week again to our sponsor.
So the movie is functionally about a kidnapping and a possession and then the demon. So these parents, one of whom is a journalist, the other who's, I think, a nurse. She works at a hospital in Egypt, but they never describe if she's a doctor or a nurse or a what. But anyway, I think she's a nurse. So a journalist and a nurse are working in Egypt because he's been there for 5 months on like an international reporting beat, waiting for a new job offer to come in. And they have their two kids, Katie and Seb, for Sebastian, which with a French accent, I think, because I think his wife is like French or Spanish. It's very confusing. Like that, the accent, her accent doesn't match her mother being Albuquerque Latina. Like it was confusing. Anyway, so Katie and Seb are with them. Katie's the older sister to Seb. They're both like 10 or 8 or whatever. While the dad is on the phone with his job offer, she's out in the garden because she had a fight with her brother. A neighbor lady who is supposedly the mother of her best friend, Layla, comes up, talks to her, and then kidnaps her. And off they go. And suddenly it's 8 years later and Katie has been missing this whole time. Katie shows back up in a sarcophagus wrapped in bandages, wakes up sort of, but is like in this like locked in state. And the doctors are like, well, she seems fine. Let's send her home. And for reasons that are stupid, the doctor should not have done any of this for obvious reasons. We need to cover a lot of that. But then she goes home with them and starts demonically terrorizing and possessing and doing an Evil Dead in their house. And I got to tell you, after that first act, I was utterly bored.
Yeah, I mean, the movie, it had some real confusion of identity for a while. The time jump was interesting. I didn't know what they were going to do with that. But, like, they did that, and I was like, okay. Yeah, you know,
it shows the family's kind of
Yeah, the family's, like, kind of moved on, like, with their, like, but never really. And then the daughter comes back in, and the mother has this need to, like, really be there because she wasn't there to stop the kidnapping. And the father has guilt, so he, like, you know, wants to do what's best for her. But, like, think long and hard about this, everybody, just on a logical level. Like, if you are found after 8 years missing in a sarcophagus wrapped in bandage in a catatonic state, I think they're going to keep you more than overnight, even if your family is, like, qualified to help you. And it was just a really odd decision.
And let's discuss the fact that the doctors find her. She has her in a catatonic state, but they don't, like, take care of her nails. They don't wash her properly. She's wrapped in, like, these leathery bandages, but as the family, spoiler, discovers later, she also has these, like, papery bandages wrapped around her, almost like skin. And the doctors somehow miss this all over her body. Like, there's a logical jump here that the movie doesn't make. And you're just like, these are either the shittiest doctors in the world, or the movie thinks you're stupid.
I don't know, like, there was some cool stuff with the Morse code. I thought that was kind of clever with the chattering and whatever,
because Katie learned it and she tries to talk with her dad somehow, which is the only time Katie actually comes out personality wise from within the demon that's possessing her, which, if you're gonna put this as a plot point, you gotta do it more than once.
Yeah, you got to give me a little more than that, like, you know, because at the end of the day, you just have a crazy little girl running through walls killing people, and then, like, you know,
because if she communicates with her dad and gives him some evidence he needs to figure out what's going on with her, but when you only do it once, does that mean the demon is doing that? Is this Katie trying to show through what's going on? Because Katie's in there, apparently, or she isn't, and we don't know because the movie doesn't give us anything.
No, nothing at all. Like, sometimes movies hold your hand and bring you along, and you kind of, like, it could be annoying. Sometimes they just, like, you know, pull the ripcord and just help you to follow along. Like, I didn't get what was going on.
No.
And it just lost me. Like, I was trying in this movie to really feel. And, like, the people, I gave less of a shit about them. The most interesting person in the movie was probably the magician in the beginning, who you don't get very much of at all. And then, you know, the only person you felt bad for was the grandma. The father sucks. The mother sucks. The kids are little shit kids. Like, there was nothing redeeming about this family.
There's no personality to them, certainly.
Yeah. Like, there was nothing redeeming about this family, like, to make me care about them. It was just odd.
And another big issue I have is based on the fact that I went in expecting one thing, a mummy movie, and I got something else. And what I got is the kind of movie I don't give a crap about. You know me. We've discussed this before. I don't like The Exorcist, not because I find it too scary. I find it tedious and boring. It's not the kind of horror that's scary to me. Possession movies in general hit the same beats over and over again. It's the same kind of storytelling. It's the same kind of jump scares. It's the same stupid things. And this movie tries to change that up, but all it does to change it up is steal from a different movie, which is the Evil Dead series. So,
yeah. Like, and it would have been better just playing an Evil Dead movie.
It would have been better. It would have been better if Lee Cronin had gone to Sam Raimi and be like, hey, let's make a sequel to Evil Dead Rise, because I have some new ideas I want to explore. Instead, it's like he's trying to come up with his own mythology that's kind of the mummy, but kind of isn't. And I don't understand what the thought process, like, I can't find much documentation on this movie online because no one likes it and no one cares. But I don't understand what the thought process was through any part of this movie to come with the fucked up movie that we actually got.
Yeah, and, you know, there was some gross shit at the end, though, like when the little girl puts in the teeth and all that, like, that was some creepy-looking shit. Like, you know, they really gave you vibes of more, you know, an Evil Dead kind of movie like that.
Yep.
Like, there was nothing about that, like, the control that she put onto her siblings. Like, I didn't know the mummy could do that. Is that the demon, or is it the mummy? Like, why is a mummy
able power. To do-
Right? Like, I didn't get it. Like, it was interesting. It was, you know, creepy, I guess. But, like, it needed a different name more so than what it had. Because, like you said, we went into it with the expectation of a mummy movie, and I got The Exorcist, Evil Dead's, you know, redheaded stepchild.
Yeah, well, in my review for this on the website, I described this as, this has as much to do with the mummy as Scooby-Doo does to Sherlock Holmes. Yes, they're both detectives solving mysteries, but that's about the only connective tissue you have. What we have here is a demonic monster coming from Egypt. And there's kind of a pyramid, but not really. And there's kind of some wraps, but not really. And that's the whole of it. It doesn't make sense to call this a mummy movie because she's not mummified. She's kind of just like trapped in a coffin for a little while. And then even then, spoilers for this, the movie decides to revert everything. And after the demon comes out of her, she just gets better.
Yeah, I mean, you know, no worse for the wear, apparently.
Right? Like, the movie walks back everything about a story. At least the Evil Dead movies have the grace to be like, well, you're dead and possessed. You're never coming back from this. This movie's like, well, you know, it's a kid, so why not? No, fuck that.
Yeah, I mean, you were taking risks, and then you decided to play it safe at the end there. Like, just kill the kid, dude. Come on.
Kill the whole family. That at least does something for me there. This is bullshit.
I don't know, like, you know, the father making the sacrifice, coming to terms, and, you know, the mother kind of figuring it out, I guess. Like, I mean, you've seen it 1,000 times, and it didn't do anything new. It had, like, a double ending thing that I just didn't give a shit about. I was more angry. I was more angry that I got that than anything else. Like, you should have ended it when you should have ended it, and you know where I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And then they gave us something else. Like, you could have put this in there a half hour ago and it would have made no difference to me.
No, like, it's very rare for me to sit in the theater bored with a film. I've watched some absolute bullshit before. I saw Borderlands in the theater with my wife, and that movie's bad, but at least it was, in comparison to this, it was an entertaining bad, because you could at least, like, bitch about it. This one was just boring. Like, nothing important happens, and it's only going through the motion. It feels like the people making the movie were bored while they made it.
Yeah, this movie will be lost to the pantheons of, you know, book dusty shelves and $5 bins somewhere. And, like, you feel bad to say it because, like, you know, they tried to do something different, but what they did was just bad. Sorry.
It was just bad. I do not agree with this one. This is not in my mummy canon. This is not in my Evil Dead canon. It's forgettable, and I think we all just need to move on.
Yeah, you know, better things come, hopefully, coming down the line from, you know, the people involved in this movie. But, you know, this one was a big swing and a miss for me.
Yep. Ah, well. This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, Lost to the Sands of Time. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy, Mike the Ghoul here, going to go put a scorpion down his throat instead of watch this crap again.
Sure.
Hasty.
I'm so delicious. We will see you all next time.